We had the street sweeper today.
Ah, he comes to sweep your streets.
Well, this was a funny one because we put it on the calendar so we can try to move our cars off the street and, wedge them both in the driveway. But you don't have to. It just goes around your car, but it means that that part of the street doesn't get swept, which is dumb. So,
way more civilized than here where they'll go around you, but they'll give you a ticket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't do that. This is the suburbs, man. We're sitting there and I hear the street sweeper go by and Lauren goes, "Oh man, is it the street sweeper today?" And I said, "Well, since it just went by, that's a yes." It's like, yeah, that was, I don't think it's going somewhere else. I think that was it. So we missed our chance.
It's not in transit.
Because it was almost like, the way she said it was like, "Oh, should we move the cars?" I'm like, "Nope, it's already gone, Chief."
The horse is out of the barn.
Yeah, yeah. And we have somebody here trimming our trees today. So I've got noises on this end potentially, but you have your trash truck that comes. For people who listen to Clockwise, they may even have heard it in the background. You have a trash truck that comes while we're recording Clockwise every week.
It's pretty much like 12:30 almost on the dot. So if we run a little bit long, we just hit it. And most weeks we are running probably like a little bit after 12:30.
Yeah, because we oftentimes we don't get on the call until 9, and then, or sorry, 12 your time.
Sorry, yeah, 12:30 my
12
time.
Dan time.
That's
Then we, you know, get started, make sure everybody's ready, and then we get going. So it's often right as we are ending the show that that the trash truck comes. And sometimes I can't hear it on Skype, but then I hear your recording. I'm like, "Oh, look, it's the trash truck."
Yeah. Well, sometimes I have the windows closed, but it's the summer, so I have the windows open now. What's super weird is that there's like one or two weeks a year where I have no idea why, but they switch the schedule suddenly, and it will be coming at like 7:30 in the morning, which invariably means haven't realized that and gotten used to putting out my trash in the morning when I leave out, and I'm like running out in my pajamas, like, "No, take my trash." But it only seems to happen a few times a year, so I don't know what about the logistics makes that happen, because then they go back to being at 12:30. So,
well, it's very bizarre. Often if it's a holiday week is when that happens here, is that there are a few days that they don't run, and then everything gets upset because they've got to pack sort of everybody in to extra time.
We get pushed back by a day if there's a holiday.
A day's got to go somewhere, though, Dan. A day's got to go somewhere.
Interesting thought.
I don't know. You're coming to San Francisco. You're coming out here for WWDC soon.
I am, in just a few short days. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. This has become sort of the de facto. There's really nothing else on the calendar. I was talking to our mutual friend, Tony Sindelar, about this yesterday. And I was saying, he's like, "Are there way more people going this year? Or just do I know more people who are going?" And I said, "Well, it's probably a little of both." With Macworld Expo gone, long dead now, there really isn't another event that draws this many people from the Apple community to a single place. You have a lot of those smaller conferences, but I feel like even those have gotten kind of fewer and farther between in the last year or two. So there really is no substitute for WWDC in terms of like seeing a whole bunch of people from this community in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, it's the I wrote a piece about this like a year ago at iMore that was it's the replacement for Macworld Expo, essentially. This is the community event now, and it's difficult because it's not a regular person event. It's a developer event. But right. Even Macworld Expo was a community event, but it largely drew, not entirely, but largely drew from the Bay Area. So that was not the aspect of it that made it the community event. It was sort of like everybody who is really deep down into here as a vendor or as a, just a developer or as a journalist, all of those people who spend all their time talking about Apple and other stuff like that would show up for Macworld Expo, plus, regular people. And WWDC is basically that, except it doesn't have the regular people part. I'm not going to run into my daughter's kindergarten teacher at WWDC like I did at Macworld Expo.
But it's also different because a lot of people in recent years, especially as the numbers of attendees have gotten, it's gotten harder and harder to get a ticket to the actual show. It's very expensive as opposed to Macworld, where you could get into the exhibit hall oftentimes for like $25.
Right.
Most people aren't paying $1,600 just to come and, maybe think about going to a session or two. But this whole sort of cottage industry has sprung up around it, including a couple other small conferences, and also just the whole social aspect of sort of showing up and seeing people and networking and socializing is this whole separate thing now that sort of surrounds WWDC but is not really part of it. It's sort of a thinly veiled excuse.
Yeah. I mean, Apple's argument is the Apple Store is where everybody wants to go, because isn't it fun to go to the Apple Store?
I just like sitting there sometimes on one of those little like ball chairs. No.
Yeah.
Belly up to the Genius Bar, order a drink.
I mean, if you view the Apple Store's existence as, or Macworld Expo's existence, for example, as being like a store, then yeah, but it wasn't like that. It was a little bit different. But anyway, it's WWDC week. It's what we've got. It's the place where kind of everybody shows up. And so, you know, you're going to show up. You're going to be there. You're going to do the stuff. We're going to do, We're going to cover the event and talk to people and go to the parties and go to the relay is doing a live thing on Monday night. And, you know, John Gruber's doing his live talk show thing on Wednesday night, I want to say.
Tuesday night.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a busy week.
And we'll wedge a clockwise in there at some point, too. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
And possibly a secret podcast as well.
Oh, how about that?
We could do that live and in person.
Ooh, we could do that. Intriguing.
Yes.
All right.
Possibilities.
We'll give it a try.
They're manifold.
It's true. A secret podcast. So, an upgrade this week, we did a draft of things we were going to, I'm not sure I would call them predictions, but we did a draft of things that could be announced at WWDC at the keynote. And this week on Six Colors, we're doing these, wish list stories, which is the same sort of thing, basically, like things I'd like to see. And
it's been interesting because I feel like a lot of years in the past, it's been clear-ish at times, you know, like, okay, we kind of think that there's a couple things that we feel pretty confident about, and then there's a lot of things that we're like, well, could go one way or the other, and then there's things that like, no, that's not going to happen. This year, I feel less confident about the things like, oh, yes, they're definitely going to do this. Aside from the discussion of a Siri API, which I'm not even 100% convinced on, but it does seem pretty likely, I don't know what else to really expect from this. It looks like there probably won't be any hardware. There might be some Mac hardware, but I think of those things, you know, it's really hard to keep that under wraps, right? That's what we experienced as the product, you know, the supply chain gets bigger and bigger, and they're making more and more of these things, is that it's really hard for some of those not to leak in some way.
Yeah.
The reason I suspect maybe a Mac Pro is a possibility is, and I don't know if this is true or not, total conjecture, but I believe the final supply, or at least the final assembly for that, is in the U.S. Maybe they have an easier time clamping down on security than they do in China.
Could be. Also, it's not going to look that different. I mean, that's the thing. Is
right.
Changing the internals.
Internal.
It's hard. Internals are harder to leak. Software is harder to leak. Outside parts built in Asia tend to leak a lot easier because there's so many people involved. And, you know, quite honestly, for a lot of people in that part of the world, the standard of living is problematic. They don't get paid very much. And there's so being paid to release information is a bigger deal. And my understanding is that culturally, people share secrets, and that's part of how business gets done on a certain level. So if you're a supplier, I've gotten the sense several times that some of the suppliers in the supply chain, not people inside Apple's factories or anything, but like suppliers end up being the place that a lot of this stuff comes from, because it is part of the stock and trade, like, you know, you scratch your back, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of thing, where it's like like the case makers. This is why the case makers have all of these speculative cases, is that they've got friends who are in the supply chain who manufactured a part or whatever, and it all just kind of comes out that way. And it's a big complex system that's got a lot of reasons why information would get transferred around. And I'm really not trying to judge it. I'm just saying that's how it is. And you know, and even Apple, which wants to be secret about this stuff, it kind of can't be and produce at that scale. It just can't.
Right. But obviously software, which is mainly internal to Apple, is a lot easier to keep quiet because you have a lot tighter leash on the people who are doing that.
And here's the thing, software you can keep a tighter leash on. Marketing you can keep completely
right
almost completely quiet. And that's,
unless they accidentally update your website, as they, well, yeah, but, every once in a while.
But like, so Mike and I were talking about what OS X is going to be called. Is it going to be called Mac OS? Is it going to be one word or two? Is it going to be capitalized or not? And what's the version number? Is it going to be? Is it going to have a marketing name? Yep. Is it going to have a number? Is it going to still? Is it going to be 10.12? Is it going to be Mac OS 12? Is it going to be Mac OS 11? Is it going to be Mac OS Monterey or something like that? And the version number isn't part of the marketing. What's the marketing message there? And that's the thing that really could be decided practically the day of, unless they've got like banners they're unfurling, in which case they need to print the banners. But it's something that could be very constrained in terms of right. who knows about it. And somebody tweeted at me this morning who said, well, you know, the logs show versions of OS 10, 10.12 already showing up in web server logs. So there's your answer. And my response was, that's not an answer. Like, I'm sure that as they're working on the sequence after 10.11, that the builds internally are all called 10.12. That doesn't mean anything because, one, they could have a new build ready to go to developers on Monday that is Mac OS 12,
right,
if they wanted to, or Mac OS 11 if they wanted to. And two, even if that is still called 10.12, it doesn't mean that that's what's going to be on the slides. And that's going to be how it's marketed.
Right.
That could be literally anything, and it could still change or not by the time it's released. Well, so it's not evidence of anything, because marketing is marketing.
It's even easier now, considering that, you know, at least, you know, 10 years ago or less, they still had to produce like boxes, right, to put on shelves.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's all just strings and like digital information, which means it's super easy for them to change that whenever the heck they want.
And it's not shipping, you know, it's not shipping right. until fall. So if they change the OS name, so
there's plenty of room.
My point is, for any product that is not shipping with physical stuff that's got something engraved on it, especially, that name can be kept pretty quiet for a long time. So in the little nesting dolls of secrecy at Apple, I feel like the marketing and pricing, that stuff is that stuff that doesn't ever have to leak, because it can be kept in confidence. It doesn't have to be. And I think that's also sometimes the source of some bad rumors, is people hear like, oh, I hear it's going to be called this. And it turns out that that's just sort of like the name people were using. But the executives have decided, no, it's going to be called this. And right. I think that happens. I heard a good one that who told me this? I can't even remember now. Was it Mike on? It might have been Mike on Upgrade. I don't know. I heard a good theory. It's not a rumor. It's just a wild bit of speculation that I thought was really great. Which is, it was Mike on Upgrade, I think. That if Apple does the Siri speaker product, mm-hmm. the Amazon mm-hmm. Echo equivalent from Apple, that it should be called the iPod. And I thought, I like it. I wanted the iPad to be called the iBook. Because I thought I like reuse that, and instead they reused it for their ebook store. But like, iPod is fading away as a concept, but it's nice. It's a little complicated because iPad and iPod are so close. But what is more iPod-y than a speaker with voice control that plays like that's really deeply hooked into like Apple Music that you stick in your kitchen or your living room? That would be a pretty good name, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I've been waiting for them to reuse the iPod brand for a while now, especially since it's been increasingly on the down low. I think you probably need to call it like the iPod Home or something like that. Because you do still have the Touch and the Nano on the market, they're probably still going to sell those things for a little while longer. So I think it would need something after it. But I agree I think it's a valuable brand, and it's weird for them to just let it totally die. That said, the counter argument to that is, I feel like they kind of want to kill the i, right? Like, they're not going to be able to kill it entirely, because the iPhone is going to be the iPhone pretty much forever. But like all the things that have been coming out, you know, the Apple Watch, the Apple TV, a lot of them seem to be ditching that sort of i moniker, if only because it's kind of an artifact of a bygone era. So I can see them wanting to go in a different direction, but there is a lot of like equity, as it were, built up in that brand, and it is kind of like an instant thing. You don't have to argue about like, is this a dumb name, like when the iPad came out and everyone was like, this sounds terrible. Now no one cares anymore, right?
I feel like it's a strong enough name that it they're not going to do anything new with the iBrand, but iPod as a name, they could bring it back. They could bring it back. They could also call it like the Apple Pod or something like that, right? And be like, okay, that's
everyone
weird.
Will make fun of that for 2 months, and then we'll get over it.
And exactly right.
But, what hatches from the Apple Pod, Jason? Terrifying.
Wait and see, Dan. Wait and see. Welcome it into your home and find out.
No, never.
Yeah.
Yeah. The speaker thing is curious to me, again, because it goes back to our hardware discussion of, I feel like if Apple were working on a speaker, something would have leaked about that. It's interesting because there was a report going around at some point, you know, talking about how, I can't remember, but I'm sure I know I sent this to you because we talked about it briefly, but some report where a source alleged, they've been working on this since like before the Amazon Echo came out. And yeah. I was like, really? Like, I can understand that maybe they've been working on some sort of like smart home thing or a hub or whatever, but like the idea that they're working on something that was essentially exactly what the Amazon Echo was strikes me as like kind of retconning.
I believe it, but I believe they were working on that and like 20 other things, right, as ideas. And that it was only the success of the Echo that made them go, oh, maybe we should do that one. I'm sure somebody mocked up what if we had a little blob that you put somewhere that was Siri. I'm sure they did that. I think that seems reasonable, but it probably was one of a bunch of ideas,
right? Sure.
And didn't get a lot of support. I don't know. I the other thing that came up with Mike was on Upgrade was the idea that. You know, WWDC is different in some ways, and announcing new products means that you can do things further out.
Right.
And so if there's a Siri API and they're trying, and part of the developer message is you can create things that talk to Siri now for the first time.
And there will be a device in 3, 4 months, six months, whatever.
So announcing, you know, sort of like the Apple TV, the original ITV announcement, announcing that we're going to do this product and it'll be out this fall. And it will. So in addition to your API working with Apple TV and with all the iPhones and iPads that have Siri and with the Mac that now has Siri, it will also be on this ambient device that we're going to make. And they could announce that. They could also not announce it. Evangelize the existing stuff, and then in the fall say, hey, guess what? Just in time for the holidays, we also have a speaker product that uses the Siri API. But they could, my point is they could announce at WWDC and have all just months before it ships because they do that when they're not cannibalizing an existing product.
Yeah, no, I'm extremely on the fence about this idea because in some ways it makes sense, but in other ways, looking at Apple as a company, its philosophy, its history, it seems odd. I think part of it is that it looks very reactionary. And that's not to say that Apple doesn't, you know, excel at entering existing, you know, markets and doing great products. But it seems very knee-jerk reaction, like, oh my God, they're doing this thing. We should do this thing.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence about it. Like, I could see it going either way, I guess. And I guess I worry from the sort of optics of it that it starts to look flaily after, you know, the watch, which has never really caught on. And the watch seems to be doing okay, but they made a big deal about the watch. It was a huge announcement. And in some ways, it's like, that didn't work. Hey, try this speaker thing over here. And that just, it's odd to me because it doesn't strike me as something that Apple traditionally does. There's no reason to say they couldn't go and do that. They change, you know, business strategies change all the time, and I'm not discounting it. I just, there is something about it that doesn't quite sit right with me, and I haven't been convinced yet. But that's not to say they couldn't come out next week and introduce this thing.
I don't know. They, I feel like if they didn't have Siri, it would be a different story. But since they have Siri, extending Siri to other devices, it doesn't seem unreasonable to me that they would do something like that, especially since they have Beats and they have Apple Music. Making a product like this and really bringing kind of music to the fore, but they've also got their podcast directory. So that's a place where they're way ahead of something like Amazon. Because the Echo basically is very bad at podcasts. It'll do some through TuneIn, but it's not the same, right? And they've got that. They could use that. They've got their book, their audiobook selections that are available. you know, they've got some stuff. There's a product here that makes sense, I feel
like. There's some synergy. I agree with you in that sense.
Like, especially there is... if there's also going to be a Siri API. I mean, if you imagine it, that could be quite a huge part of the keynote. If it's like Siri API and Siri is everywhere. It's on the Mac now. It's already on iOS and Apple TV and the Apple Watch.
But
it's
better in all those places.
Exactly.
And have the API. Yeah. No, I agree. I think Siri seems like it's a major thrust. I'm curious to know how long... I mean, this is the kind of thing we've talked about in a couple different places. I've wrote about, you've wrote about. Siri as an original product, which is now about 5 years old almost, at least, you know, in the Apple incarnation. It was announced, I think, in October 2011. And it obviously existed as a third-party app before that. But it doesn't seem as though it's been exactly lavished with attention on the Apple side. There have been updates here and there. It's added some small bits of functionality. But a lot of time went by where they didn't really talk about it at all, despite making this huge, big announcement when it came out. And so it does seem like it's time for them to do this. I just wonder at what point they decided that this was something they should be working on. Was it something that they've been working on for 5 years now? Or is this something that's really cropped up in the last year or two where they've realized how prevalent it's going in other places? Or have they just, you know, maybe they've been working on this API that long? That's certainly possible. But I'm extremely curious to see what it is, if only because there have been departures from the original Siri team that joined them, right? Like, a lot of people went off to Viv. People have gone to other places. I know a guy who worked on Siri at Apple. He is no longer there. Yeah. He's at Viv.
But they also bought another... Like, yep. What, Voice IQ or something like that. So they're also bringing people in. So, yeah.
And there could be conflicts there, et cetera, that cause some people to leave because they think it's going in a different direction. I don't know. It's one thing
to build a super awesome pie in the sky bit of tech, and it's another thing to have integrated tech in an existing product that you're mm-hmm. trying to iterate on. I mean,
sure.
And I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm saying that, like, it's different when you're like, we're going to build the next generation of speech tech, and we are maintaining and upgrading Siri, which is already in, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of iPhones that we can't break. It's just a really different kind of, you know, job.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very practical versus theoretical, engineering versus pure math, as it were. I'm just intrigued to see what it is, because it does feel like they've played their cards very close to their chest for so long here. And so I worry, my biggest concern has been things like, you know, when they port Siri to the Mac, that it ends up being basically what we have on iOS already. And to a point, I think you said this in the last week or two, like, that would be a shame, because the power of the Mac is in all these other, you know, abilities and tinkering and, like, you know, customization that you can do. And if Siri is just a black box that tells you what the weather is, then what is the point of it?
Yeah.
And so I worry that that opportunity could be squandered, but I'm hopeful that it will not be, and that they've really been working hard on developing a system that makes sense for Siri on the Mac, as opposed to just porting over what already exists on iOS.
And you know, you've written about this part of it too. Like, there's voice control mm-hmm. in the Mac now, and has been there for quite some time.
Oh, years, and decades.
Decades. And it's been quite powerful for a long time, where you say things and it does things. I think the opportunity here, bringing Siri in, is this opportunity to Apple's really getting behind this idea of talking to your computer. So hopefully the power that's already in there will be able to live alongside the power of Siri stuff that as we know it today, and it will actually get more people using that other technology, which is this voice control stuff that lets you kick off scripts that have access to basically everything that scripting and automation has, which is the whole system. So I hope so. I hope that will happen. Apple seems. Stuff like the voice command stuff, you know, it's been in there forever, and there's like a small group at Apple that seems to care about it, and then nobody else seems to care about it at Apple. And, you know, my hope is that they'll embrace it with this. My realistic hope is that this will make it more visible despite them not caring about it. And my fear is that this will like be a barrier to it, and it'll actually make it less useful because Siri will cover it up. But who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, with Apple. It's so weird. Like you're totally right about the scripting and automation stuff, which is, you know, as we've heard, I think both over the years is basically still in there due to like sheer will from some of the people who work on it. But yeah, I look forward to me and to my mind, the biggest thing is that we still have Macs, right? Like iOS is not like just like totally obviated all of our needs to have Macs. We still have Macs. We still use them for a lot of things. And there is a differentiation between, you know, the kind of things that are possible on a Mac and the kind of things that are possible on an iOS device. And so, you know, wanting to play into like the best qualities of the Mac or the things that the Mac can do that the iOS devices can't do is one of the things I think we are looking for in Siri. So I'm excited by the possibility. I just it's one of those moments where I'm like, oh man, I really have no idea what this is going to look like. And sometimes that is pretty exciting, but it can also be kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens next week. It'll be
indeed,
a busy week.
We will.
And but we'll try to do a secret podcast. I'm kind of not going to promise it because you never know, but we'll give it a shot.
It's certainly a possibility.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks to everybody out there for listening and for subscribing to Six Colors. If you aren't a subscriber to Six Colors, you probably shouldn't be listening to this, but please go to sixcolors.com and click the subscribe link and become a subscriber. And then your conscience will be clear.
Well, about that anyways.
That's what, no, I absolve you of all sins.
The welcome to the First Church of Six Colors. The Sixth Church of... No, I don't even know.
The Sixth Church of Color.
The Sixth Church of Color.
Something like that. Okay. So we'll hopefully see you next week. And Dan, I will definitely see you soon.
Indeed. Sooner than you know.
Where's that garbage truck? Is it coming by here?